Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's good to be here tonight. We are going to open with a prayer, as we always do. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for this blessed opportunity to come before Thee and to worship Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thy presence would be here. I pray that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. I pray that we would all be filled with the Holy Ghost. Help us, O God, inspire us this night to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray, O God, that each and everything we do here would be ordained of Thee. I pray that each and everything we do here would be pleasing in Thy sight. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon the entirety of this service. And we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 83 tonight, From the Rising of the Sun. Number 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn now to number 90 and sing "The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower." Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 139 and sing "Unto Thee, O Lord." Number 139. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, as we were singing that song, I looked across the page and another chorus jumped out at me. Let's sing number 135. Leave it there, number 135. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And that is so true. We can take our burdens to the Lord, and He will take those burdens away. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105. things are possible. God. Well, we are going to turn to number 95 now and sing you Hallelujah. He's an answering God, number 95.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You, number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, yes, we have a lot to appreciate, don't we? Praise the Lord. We are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all the abundant blessings, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for the opportunities that thou hast given us, for this ministry that thou hast given us. We are so thankful for this place that thou hast given us where we can come together and gather in thy name and worship thee. And we know that none of this would be possible without thy help, and we are so grateful for all that thou hast done for us. We pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead this ministry by thy mighty hand. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as we were singing that chorus, another one popped into my head that we haven't sang for quite a while, but I feel like singing it tonight. Number 177, just want to tell you, number 177. Stars and the moon. He has done so much for us. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley in just a moment. Before we do that, I do want to mention just one thing. They did complete the tests for my mother-in-law, Linda, down in South Carolina, and they determined that she is completely cancer-free. So, praise God. And all it took was one treatment, so that is a miracle. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to turn this over to Shirley now. Praise the
Praise the Lord. Amen. We love good reports, don't we? And you know, there is so much to be thankful. You know, that's God sees that. And you know, I believe it makes him want to just do all the more. You know, and we have that kind of heart that you know, is just given over to a thankful spirit. And praise the Lord. We have been blessed in so many ways. We have been blessed of the Lord. And sometimes we don't realize it, you know. Sometimes you're reflecting and you think, wow, you know, we did that? God help us to do that? I've seen that. I know I was talking with Brother Tim last night, and we were talking about some of our things, our feats going through Mexico, and just marveling because, I mean, honestly, we didn't have a GPS. We couldn't speak the language. I'll tell you what, when we entered into Mexico, honestly, it was really something. And it was raining, it was pouring, just so many things. The way God helped us, we were just reflecting on some of the miraculous things that God did for us when we were going to that strange land, and you know, a lot of times when we came to a place where, you know, we needed somebody to help us understand, interpret, there would be somebody there that could speak English well. And you know, it was like every need. We needed a taxi driver who spoke English, and God gave us one, and he became a friend, and we were able to witness to him, and, you know, many others. You know, God would take us to certain places, and you know, we knew it was completely led by God. You know, just people that, you know, we needed to meet, you know, that a hunger for the Lord. Or in a few cases, it was people that already knew God, and it was such an encouragement to them to find us. And, you know, you just don't know, you know, but God knows how to help us, and he's with us, even in those times when we're struggling, and, you know, we don't always know our way, it seems, at times, but calling upon the Lord, there upon our knees, and, you know, knowing that he is the only one that can help us. Oh, how he does, how he makes a way. Wow. We do marvel. And sometimes, you know, you don't see it, you know, going, oh boy, in the rain, in the thick of the battle, and realizing, wow, we didn't know where to turn except God helped us there in that strange land. You know, you do marvel. God is so good to us. He is so good. Praise the Lord. And we have much to do for him. Yes, we have a debt to pay for what he has done for us. We could never fully pay it by any means. But he so graciously has extended his love, his mercy, his compassion toward us so that we might be his children. Amen. And that's something, wow, we can just never thank him enough for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray right now and talk to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you again, Lord, how thankful we are for the things that you've done, Lord, your great mercy that you've extended to us, Lord, your care, your compassion, even the fact, Lord, that we know your name. Oh, God, that we have your word, Lord, and oh, God, we have thy promises, Lord, and so many things that many people don't realize, God. Oh, Lord, they just don't get. Oh, Lord, oh, God, but you've called us, Lord. You put your hand on us. Oh, God, we're joint heirs with Christ, oh, Lord, and here we are tonight, Lord. Oh, God, to sing thy praises and to meditate upon thy word, Lord, to draw nigh to thee, to get closer to thee, Lord. I pray that you'd help us here, Lord. Pray, oh God, that this word would go forth to do that which, oh Lord, you've ordained it to do, Lord. Oh God, that it would accomplish those things, oh God, that you have ordained, oh Lord, that would please thee, Lord. Oh God, those things, oh God, that need to be done for thy kingdom's sake. God, thou knowest, oh Lord, thou carest, oh Lord, thou art able to help us even now, Lord. Oh God, we just give this service to you, Lord. Ask, O Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct, O Lord, that you put your words in my mouth, Lord, O God, that you would speak, O Lord, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd help us to get to that place, Lord, that we need to be in thee, Lord, O God, that we can see, O Lord, the things that are above, O God, to mind the things, O God, that are spiritual, and not the mundane, carnal things of this world. But I pray that you'd help us now in the name of Jesus. Pray, O Lord, that you talk to our hearts. Oh, God, that you get us to that higher ground. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that your word would go forth, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd call that wandering one back to thee, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd call that individual back tonight, Lord, that you'd speak, oh, Lord, those words of life. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that they would hit home, Lord Jesus, and that you would do the work, oh, Lord, that needs to be done, Lord, to accomplish thy plan. Oh, Lord, the things that thou hast ordained. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We give this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, binding every contrary spirit and everything, oh, Lord, that would come against thy word, oh, Lord, and oppose it. We come to thee in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Ye Are My Witnesses. Praise the Lord. We're going to go at the first here, to the Acts, the first chapter. If you would turn there with me, please. Praise the Lord. Acts, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. Oh, so thankful for the Word of God and this that we can open up. Oh, this that has been passed down to us, the things that so few have had in times of old, but we've got these epistles, we've got this Word, we've got this history. All these things that tell of the wondrous goodness of the Lord and his ways. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, Acts, the first chapter. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And of course, we know that Luke is the author of this book, and that the former treatise, the former writing that he's referring to there, is the book of Luke. And so he obviously had already sent it to Theophilus. We don't know a whole lot about Theophilus, but obviously he was a man of means and you know, somebody of, I would say, importance from what I can judge here. So he's addressing him. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Would you have kind of liked to have been one of those? You know, I can't imagine those 40 days, you know, after Jesus, you know, here he was in that resurrected body, but he was trying to tell them the things that were most relevant, the things that they needed. And, you know, who knows, because we don't have much of a record of the things that were done in those 40 days. But obviously, you know, He showed himself alive. And many proofs that you could not deny, infallible proofs that could not be denied. Seen of them 40 days, and he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And verse 4 tells us, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So here he's giving them a very earnest command right before he departs. He's telling them not to leave Jerusalem, not to depart from Jerusalem. And it's a command. He's ordering them not to leave Jerusalem, but they are to wait for the promise of the Father, which, of course, they had heard of him. You know, he'd been talking about it. And I have a feeling, you know, those 40 days, he probably said a lot more than is written in other places in the gospel. And it says in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And, of course, they don't have complete understanding at all at this point. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to give them insights that they never had before and to have better understanding of God's word. It tells us in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now this was something that was obviously very hard for them to understand. You know, in the 24th chapter of Luke, when there were those two, and this is after the resurrection, who were walking on the way to a village called Emmaus, and Jesus came and joined himself to them here in the 24th chapter of Luke, and you know, they didn't realize it. Obviously, they were disciples, but they didn't realize that it was Jesus. And you know, obviously, they were confused and they didn't understand. You know, it's an amazing thing because Jesus came and drew himself near to them and went with them. He's walking with them on that road. And it tells us they did, you know, their eyes were holding to him. They didn't know him at that point. And, you know, obviously their conversation wasn't very happy from the drift of it, I'm thinking. And, you know, so he says, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass thee there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? You know, Jesus knew their thoughts and their intents, but you know, he's trying to, you know, feel them out, I guess, and get it out of their hearts. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But here, you know, it tells us in verse 21, you know, this was their expectation. And this is one reason they couldn't believe that he was crucified and he was dead. And they, you know, they didn't know because, yes, there had been some that were saying he was alive. But, you know, they still obviously didn't have the proof of it. But it says in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So it tells us here that they were thinking that Jesus, as a Messiah, was going to deliver them from their physical bondage. And they had not realized, even though obviously they had followed him, they didn't understand his real mission and why he was really on the earth. And, you know, they had heard, you know, that it tells us, verse 22, and yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found out his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And of course, Jesus began to expound unto them, and you know, he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then that wonderful sermon that he preached, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So they had not understanding at that point. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. But they were still thinking that there was going to be a deliverer that would come, and expecting that it would have been Jesus who would have delivered them from their Roman bondage. And of course, you know, in other places in Luke, we know that Jesus had to kind of set them straight. The 17th chapter, there were those Pharisees, actually, that demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, and you know, Jesus had to set them straight too by saying that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's, you know, it's not when you say lo here or lo there. He told them that the kingdom of God is within you, and you know, that had been something that was so hidden from them. And of course, we know that Jesus, when he was before Pilate, he explained to Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. For if his kingdom would have been of this world, he said, then would have his servants fought that he should not be delivered to the Jews. But he said, my kingdom is not from hence. And you know, it was just something that was so hidden from them. But also here, we see there, as Jesus was ready to ascend into the heavens, that again, those that were closest to him and dearest to him didn't have understanding either. And so they're asking this question again, wondering if, you know, this was a time that God would restore again the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus answered in the 7th verse in Acts 1, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But now he's explaining what his kingdom is all about. It says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it seems as he spoke these words, it tells us in verse 9, and when he had spoken these words, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. So here they were, those that were selected, those that walked with Jesus, who were with him at this very point, this very moment when he left this world and ascended into heaven. And what a moment that must have been. But it seems that one of the very last things that Jesus told them, that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them, and that they would be witnesses, he explained, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, it was going to start right there where they were in Jerusalem, and then it was going to spread throughout that region in all Judea, and then it was going to go into Samaria to the north, and then spread unto the uttermost part of the earth. But that was his declaration, that they would be witnesses when the Holy Ghost would come upon them. You know, it's such a marvel. God puts his Spirit in his people. Oh yes, so that he can move in his people, so that he can use his people. Our Lord knew that he wasn't going to be on earth for a great length of time. In fact, you know, it was quite a marvel, because as it tells us in Isaiah 53, that he was cut off from the people. It was if as his years were cut off, and he didn't have any earthly children, you know, to follow him and take over for him at all. But, you know, there was a question that was asked, even in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, because there was reason to wonder, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So that was something that wasn't easily understood. But the thing was, and oh, as we know, it took them so long to figure it out. The kingdom that Jesus Christ was bringing forth was not of this world. It was not an earthly kingdom. As he had told Pilate, you know, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my disciples fight? You know, I wouldn't be given over. I wouldn't be standing before you. You know, they would have fought and I would have been delivered. But, you know, there was another thing that they had not yet understood. And the prophets had spoken of it. I'm sure the prophets didn't really have understanding either. They were uttering things that God put in their heart. As the Spirit of God moved in them, they would bring forth the words. And in Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel prophesied, if we look at that chapter for a bit, Isaiah 36, verse 26. It is said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. All those promises that had been declared by the prophets. We know Jeremiah too also prophesied of the new covenant and the events that would unfold after Jesus had walked this earth. And of course the 31st chapter of Jeremiah is one of those places that Jeremiah prophesied of such. It says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. And this shall be my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, yes, it wasn't widely understood at all, you know, that God was going to bring forth a spiritual people, and he was going to put his law in their inward parts. It wouldn't be on tables of stone, but it would be put into the hearts of God's people. It would be placed in their minds so that they could see and understand and rightly know the Word of God, and it would be within their very being to go forth and declare it and to do the works that he would have them to do, to finish that which he had begun. Because, yes, as it says in Isaiah 53, he was cut off. You know, his days were short and his ministry was only 3.5 years. And it was like he was cut in half there. Oh, yes, and I'm sure the devil thought that he had advantage. Oh, he had the advantage. Oh, yes, that he had taken care of this Jesus. But, oh, no, it wasn't so. Because, oh, yes, in giving his life, in shedding his blood, he was making a way for his people that would come after him, his new covenant people that would follow after him, his people that would be washed in his blood and cleansed and made whole, those people that he would put his spirit within, that he would lead and guide and direct and instruct. Oh, yes, those that he would give his word to. And we know that one of the assignments God gives his people is to be a witness. In the 16th chapter of Mark, yes, Jesus, again, this is Mark's way of declaring the final words of Jesus Christ. It says that Mark declared here as he was uttering the words that came to him in verse 15 of Mark 16, Jesus' recorded word where he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." But here, this commission, oh yes, this declaration, this order, this command that his people should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And God was going to empower his people. Oh yes, he was going to give them that power, that Holy Ghost baptism. Oh yes, that had been declared. Yes, John truly baptized with water, but there was one that would follow him, that would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh yes, oh, the power of God itself coming into a being to inhabit that being, to be a part of that individual. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could do the work that Jesus had set forth to do, that we could finish the work that he began. He said in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Oh, praise the Lord. That is what he told them. And we know that those that heard him went forth and did that very thing. It tells us in the 19th verse of Mark 16, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." What did his people do? They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't abandon them. He didn't leave them, oh yes, to do their own thing. And you just think that was adequate. But he put his spirit within them, oh yes, so they might be witnesses, so they might complete the work that was begun. Oh yes, that they might fulfill the plan of Jesus Christ, that the gospel might be preached to all the world. And of course, Luke, the 24th chapter, also has a way of bringing it forth too. It says in the 44th verse of Luke 24, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So again, in Luke's words here, as he ends his book here, the Lord opening up their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And then he's bringing forth the gospel. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. And therefore, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And it's so well laid out here, repentance. Remission of sins, that's baptism in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He told them, you're witnesses of these things. And then, yes, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Oh, that Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, yes, that Holy Ghost, that Spirit from on high that he was declaring there in the first chapter of Acts, that eighth verse. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So that commandment that they had been given, that they must tarry until they be endued with that Spirit, they were not complete. They were not yet converted until that Spirit of the living God had come to dwell in their very being, until they had been endued, empowered with the Spirit from on high. And so they are commissioned. Of course, Jesus had also told them there in the 14th chapter of John, verse 12, oh yes, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So here we have this, what seemed like a cut-off ministry, but oh yes, Jesus was commissioning his disciples, his followers, his children to continue that which he had begun. And he said, you know, you that believe on me, paraphrasing here a bit, those works that I did, you're going to do too. And then he said, even greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Oh yes, God equipping us to do the work, putting his Holy Spirit within us so that we might accomplish those things that would need to be accomplished. Oh yes, he wasn't going to be on earth for a long period of time. But oh my, the mighty plan of God that, oh yes, the work that Jesus began would be accomplished. Oh yes, it would be fulfilled, those things that were necessary, the gospel to be preached to all the nations, the word to go out, the witness, oh, the fulfillment of the drawing of the Holy Ghost to bring forth his people, the remnant seed, those that would be called and chosen and faithful. Oh, yes, those that the Lord would seal through the Holy Ghost baptism. Praise the Lord, yes, he declared it. Oh, yes, as he spoke of the Comforter, and oh, yes, there in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh yes, they didn't understand a lot that Jesus was teaching while he was yet on earth. They often, you know, just couldn't quite understand, as you know, we know that they didn't understand that the kingdom of God was spiritual, that was somewhat hidden from them in those days. But there would be a time, oh yes, when their understanding would be opened. Oh yes, when he would send forth the Comforter, that Spirit of the living God, that Spirit of truth that would abide with them forever. Oh yes, that Spirit of the living God. Oh, he said here in this 14th chapter of John, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord, the plan of God. Oh, yes, he was on earth. He was walking with them. He was talking with him, with them. They could behold him, but, oh, yes, there was a plan beyond that. He was going to be in them. He was going to be in their very being. He was going to send back his Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. He had told his people there in the very beginning of his ministry there, that Sermon on the Mount, there that began in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that they, his people, were the salt of the earth. But he said, if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot a man. Oh, what does this mean? You know, he's telling his people, you know, I'm going to put something within you. I'm going to make you salt. You know, you're going to have savor. You know, you're going to be potent. You're going to be able to go forth and minister in such a way that you're going to be instruments. Oh, yes, that lives can be changed, that lives can be turned over to the living God. But, you know, we as people, if we lose that savor, oh, we lose that enthusiasm. Oh, yes, if we lose that desire, then it tells us we're good for nothing. Oh, yeah, nothing except, yeah, to be, you know, that salt that no longer has any savor. It no longer has any flavor. It can't enhance the food that we would choose to use it on. It's good for nothing. Nothing but to be cast underfoot a man and to be trodden over. Oh, yes. But God's people aren't that way. No, if the Lord is living in our heart, then we're salt. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we can add savor to this world. Oh, yes, that distinctive quality, oh, that people can see that there's a living God in us, that we're not like everybody else, that we've got something deep in our hearts that's unique, that's different, and something that those that have a hunger and thirst for righteousness will desire of themselves. And also here in this 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Of course, Jesus had explained that he was the light of the world. So if we are the light of the world, it's only because Jesus dwells in our hearts. Oh, that's the only way we could ever, by having the light that was in Jesus, indwelling in our very beings. And if this is the case, oh yes, we want to be that city that is set on a hill. Oh yes, it's way up there. Oh yes, it cannot be hid. It's not covered. Oh no, it's not underneath so that it's not easy to be seen, but it's obvious. It's conspicuous. Oh, that light of God shining in our lives, in our heart, you know, so that men can see our good works because of him, and therefore glorify our Father which is in heaven. All those things that he puts within us, oh, that essence, oh, that Spirit of the living God, so that we might declare his good works and glorify God. We know after Jesus ascended that, as it's declared in Mark, that 16th chapter, they went forth everywhere preaching And the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs, following. Oh, yes, they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, they did go to Jerusalem. They did tarry until they were endued with that spirit from on high. And God was faithful. He did send it forth there on the day of Pentecost. It did come forth. Oh, yes, and it was amazing. Oh, they could see. They could hear them. Oh, yes, as they were speaking forth the mighty works of God. Oh, yes, in those tongues that were unknown to them, being just Galileans. Oh, there they were, those 120, speaking forth the mighty words of God. And those that were in Jerusalem could hear. Oh, they could hear them speaking in their own languages as the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, was so upon them that they were speaking it forth. Oh, it was so evident that God had worked in their lives, that God had now indwelt in them. And we know that one of the very first miracles that was done is explained in the third chapter of Acts, when that man who had been lame from his mother's womb was healed in such a wonderful way as Peter and John came into the temple, seeing him there by the gate, beautiful there as he always had been for, I suppose, years and years and years, asking alms, begging there. But oh yes, Peter and John didn't have alms to give him. They didn't have money to give him, but they had something else. Oh, yes, they had something within them that they could share with this man. And yes, they brought it forth in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Praise the Lord. Peter taking that man by the right hand, lifting him up. And oh, praise the Lord working with him immediately. His feet and his ankle bones received strength. Oh, and what he did at that point was a miracle indeed. He leaped up. He stood, walking and entering into them, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Well, the story continues, because as exciting as this was, as marvelous as this was, there were some that weren't too happy about it. And wouldn't you know, it was the religious people. It was those Pharisees, oh yes, that thought when they had taken Jesus and put him on a cross and yes, watched him die and then put him in a tomb. Oh yeah, they had thought that it was over. They wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. But I thank God, oh, there was no power on earth that could keep Jesus in that tomb. Oh no, the power of the living God rose him up indeed. And we know, yes, that which he had begun was continued by those that followed him, those that were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And here was living proof, as this lame man was healed miraculously. They could all see him leaping and walking and praising God. Oh, what a feat. You know, he who had never, never walked in all his life was suddenly going forth. But these religious people were not at all happy. And seeing that there was such a crowd and such a following because of this event, they were rather afraid to do too much. But there's one thing that they noted, these religious Pharisees, this boldness that Peter and John had. And you know, they could tell, you know, they weren't learned. They hadn't studied at the universities, you know, they hadn't studied under them. They were just ignorant men that were unlearned. But here they were, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of the living God, full of boldness, and they had a marvel, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. But nevertheless, within themselves, after they conferred among themselves, they thought, well, what we will do is we're going to command, we're going to tell them, we're going to threaten them so that they will stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. Oh, the authority, the power that is in that saving name. But they were so concerned, and so they conferred among themselves. It tells us here, the fourth chapter of Acts. It tells us in verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So after they had had their little conference, they called the apostles out, Peter and John in particular. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You know, their plan was, we're going to stop this. You know, the devil had tried to stop it already when, oh yes, he allowed Jesus to be crucified on the cross. And here again, you know, it hadn't done it, you know. Oh, Jesus had risen from that old grave. Oh, and there he, you know, they had seen him those 40 days after he'd risen. But here they were still speaking forth the wonderful works of God. So the plan there is to command them to not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But again, we see the boldness of Peter and John. It tells us in the 19th verse of Acts 4, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Oh, they were witnesses. They were alive. The Holy Ghost indwelt in them, and they couldn't help it. It was within their being. And oh, they had to go forth and tell it. "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown here. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Now, we know that man had attempted to stop the witnesses of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, as we go into this portion of the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, we see how the church of the living God responded. Peter and John went to the company, their own company, those that had already believed and been filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is how they responded. It tells us in the 23rd verse, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Quoting there from Psalms, the second chapter. "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." And then it says in verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Oh, this is what they prayed. They didn't pray that, you know, they would just be able to go hide someplace and have safety and, you know, keep to themselves, but instead the light that was in them. Oh yes, light of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost that was in them, prayed and asked that God would grant unto them all boldness. All boldness. They weren't going to go and hide. They weren't going to retreat. But they desired that they could speak the word of God with boldness. And I believe the Lord was very pleased with that prayer. It tells us in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, I can imagine that renewing power of the Holy Ghost came upon them, and oh yes, the Spirit of the living God, as it flowed, and you know the confidence that we feel that when we are in the presence of the Lord. Oh, there's nothing like it when you're right there, and you know, you can feel that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, you can feel that power from on high. You can feel the boldness of the Lord within your very being. And oh, there they were. Oh, yes, the Lord filling them with confidence. And yes, giving them that strength that in spite of the threatenings, that they could go forth and heal, and that signs and wonders would be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Oh yes, this is what they requested, that they might have all boldness to speak forth God's word, and that he would stretch forth his hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. God honored that. When they had prayed, that place was shaken where they had assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, I can imagine what a wonderful time that was as they were speaking forth. Oh yes, as the Spirit of God came upon them in a mighty way. And they realized, oh yes, that God was giving them the desire of their heart. He was giving them the boldness. Oh yes, the courage to stand up. Oh yes, to declare the words of God, to go forth and preach and to teach. Oh yes, that those signs and wonders would follow. It tells us in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Oh, they were fervently dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Oh, obviously that spirit was very strong upon them. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And it tells us in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it by the apostles' feet. The Lord providing for all their need so that they could go forth with the power of the Holy Ghost to bear witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us great grace was upon them. Oh yes, the Lord used them and they were heard. Oh yes, I'm sure that there were many that were affected by their declarations, by their witness, the things that they uttered, for the great boldness that the Lord gave them. I'm sure that there were healings that came forth. There were signs and there were wonders that came forth because they were so filled with the Holy Ghost. They had that spirit within them to make them alive, to make them a witness in the world that otherwise is so dark, that world that is so devoid of the spirit of the living God. Oh, yes, as it is in these days, people walking in darkness, not perceiving the things of God, not knowing. Oh, people so hindered, and thinking so often that they are doing well in themselves, thinking that they're going to get to heaven by their own works, their own ways, their own interpretation of the scripture. But yet there is a light. There is a light that God puts in his people so that we can be a witness, so that we can be that city that is set upon a hill, that city that cannot be hid. Oh, God doesn't want us to go hide. He doesn't want us to retreat. He doesn't want us to just whisper and be quiet and live in fear. But no, he has made us witnesses. Let's go now to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And here the prophet Isaiah is also declaring some of these things. Verse 10 here of Isaiah 43, the prophet declares by the voice of God, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Verse 13 says, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" In other words, who shall stop it? Oh, God declaring his work. You know, he's declaring his deity here. "Before the day was, I am God. Beside me, there is no Savior." Of course, oh, yes. His people should have been witnesses even back in that first time, under that first covenant. And they were, when there was no strange God among them, God could use them at that point. Oh, they could be witnesses. They could be a light at that point because, yes, they were clear. They were clean in that sense. But, of course, we know that they did the abominable. They took on the strange gods. Oh, yes, they served them even worse than the heathen did. No longer was there any light. No longer was there any testimony. No longer was there any witness. But God was going to go forth. Oh, yes, his work was going to be done. That which he declared was going to happen. There was none that could stop him. There was none that could disallow that which he had foreordained. It says in verse 14 here in this 43rd chapter of Isaiah, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your God, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow." Oh, I tell you what, God having his way when it was time. Oh, yes, for that kingdom of the Babylonians to be brought down. It happened. Oh, yes, as God had decreed it to happen, it happened. And it was, oh yes, for their sake, God reversing the damage that had been done in that sense. They who had, yes, came into Judea and swallowed it up at that time, but God was going to turn that around. And yes, he did bring the kingdom of the Babylonians down. And yes, all those mighty works of God, the one that made the way in the sea, that made a path in the mighty waters when he led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Oh yes, that sea, that deed, oh, was mighty in so many ways, but God making a path so his people could walk across it, every last one of them, across the Red Sea, making a way so that, oh yes, they could be separated from the enemy. Of course, the Egyptians who had followed them, God brought them down, didn't he? Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. So God allowing his people to go across that sea. But oh yes, when the enemy tried to advance, when the enemy tried to follow them, the Lord brought them down. Oh yes, he brought them down. Oh yes, and there would be no more rising. They became extinct in that sense. All of their attempts were quenched. At that moment, it was all broken down and brought to nothingness. And here he says in verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, the Lord was talking about a new thing that he was going to do. He had done these mighty works in the past, but there was something beyond that that he was going to do for his people as he would bring them forth. Oh, here he's talking about this new thing that he's going to bring forth, that he's prophesying here of. And you're going to know it. You're going to know it. You're going to be witnesses like never before. God talking about making a way in the wilderness and making rivers in the desert. Oh, places where you never expect to find rivers. Oh, a way in the wilderness. Oh, yes, all full of, you know, bramble and you know, tall trees and thickets and everything else. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Oh God, making a way for his people supernaturally beyond what could be expected. He said, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh yes, he declares it. Oh, he was going to bring forth a people. This time it would not be a people, a physical people that he would declare as his own, but it would be a spiritual family that he would bring forth, sons and daughters that were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, a people that were set free from their sins, a people, oh yes, it would shine as light in the world, and it, oh yes, it spread the gospel, oh, to every corner of the earth, speaking it forth. Oh, yes, be in that city that cannot be hid. Oh, the Lord giving drink to his people, his chosen. Oh, yes, it tells us in the 44th chapter of Isaiah, verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. Oh, what was he talking about? Oh, this new thing that he would bring forth. Oh, yes. Those springs of living water that would come forth. Oh, yes. Jesus spoke of them, didn't he? Oh, he spoke of them there in the 7th chapter of the book of John. Oh, yes. There it was. It was a feast day. And here is Jesus bringing forth the word of God. It says in John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, yes, he was speaking of those things that Isaiah the prophet had prophesied of. Oh, yes, for you that thirst. Oh, yes. You who have that spiritual desire, you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, you that come unto me, oh, come unto me and drink, he's saying. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, oh, there shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, there's something that's going to come forth from your spirit. Oh, there's something that I'm going to empower you with. There's something I'm going to give you that is greater than anything you have known. Oh, yes, God came upon the prophets and they prophesied. He put his spirit upon them and they would speak forth his word. But oh, yes, as he declared in that 14th chapter of John, that oh, yes, he was with them, but he was going to be in them. In other words, he was going to dwell in them. He was going to put his spirit in their very beings. He was going to pour it out. Here, yes, he's speaking of that living water, all those waters of life that flow from the inner being. Oh, yes, they give us something deep. Oh, yes, something that cannot be quenched. Oh, that water that, you know, forever is there to quench the thirsting of our soul, to quench the thirsting of those that have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, those that want the living God. There's something that they can receive. Oh, the Lord Jesus promised it. And it tells us in the 39th verse here in John 7, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Oh, he had offered it to the woman at the well. He had offered her living waters, but yet it wasn't time yet. You know, he told her that he had waters to give her, that if she would drink up, she would never thirst again. He told her that, you know, it was would be a well of waters springing up into everlasting life. Whosoever would drink of that water, oh, he told her, the Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. Oh, it was not yet given. Oh, yes, but those that believed, oh, praise the Lord, there was that time. Jesus completed his ministry here on earth. He fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled in the scripture. He did it all. It was complete, but you know, there would be those, oh yes, that would go forth and do the mighty works of God. There would be those that would be witnesses. Oh yes, that would go forth and do the works of God, complete that which was begun. Oh yes, that which Jesus has started. Oh yes, because the Lord in his plan, oh yes, he was going to put his spirit. He was going to put the living waters deep down inside his people. He was going to give them something, oh yes, that they could, oh yes, draw from those living waters. Oh yes, there's no limit to it. Oh yes, there's always more. Oh yes, for every need. Oh yes, for every desire, there's always more of these living waters. We could always drink a little deeper. We could always go a little deeper into the Word of God. We could always receive a little bit more. And there's no need. Oh, that's beyond the living waters. Oh, God made it. Oh, so that it was sufficient. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that it would be ample to to supply those things that we have need of. Oh, yes, to give us that light within our very being. Oh, yes, so that we could go forth and be those witnesses that the prophet declared, those witnesses of the Lord Jesus, to declare his works. Oh, yes, so that those things that he began could be completed. Oh, yes, as he told those that were with him before he left this world, there, the first chapter of Acts, he told them that they should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that they would be witnesses. Oh, it would start right there where they were, there in Jerusalem. It would spread throughout all Judea. It would go to Samaria. And praise the Lord, throughout time. Oh, yes, it would spread throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, yes, so that not only Jewish people would be recipients of the Holy Ghost baptism, but also upon the Gentiles it would be poured out. Oh yes, that, oh yes, we who are Gentiles could also receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that thing, oh yes, that, oh, gives us strength beyond our own strength. That gives us knowledge, that gives us discernment, that gives us power. Oh, that dynamite power, that dunamis, that power from on high, so that we can stand like they stood there in Jerusalem, Peter and John. Oh, yes, before those that despise them. Yes, before those religious leaders that declare the wonderful works of God. Oh, that boldness to go forth and make it known. Oh, yes, that boldness of the early church to pray that God would grant them the boldness to go forth and do the works of God, to be a witness, to be a light. Oh yes, that those signs and wonders would follow, to do those things that would please the Lord. Oh yes, that's what he did. Those people that he formed for himself, they shall show forth my praise. I love how God put it within us. Oh yes, to declare his word, to be a light. Oh yes, to go forth. Yes, they went forth to preach the gospel to every creature. And that is our commission. Oh yes, to preach the gospel to every creature, knowing that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Here we are. What I believe is the end of the world. But the word of God standeth strong. Oh, yes, it is as fervent, it is as powerful as it was on the day of Pentecost. It is as available to us as it was to them on the day of Pentecost. For Peter, when he stood up there and preached on that day, oh, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And praise the Lord if the Lord has called us. Oh yes, he's also, yes, made it possible, made it available that we could receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I don't believe that we have to beg and beg and beg. We can reach out and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's available. It's promised, you know. And no good thing would God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Those that ask, oh, yes, he said, ye shall receive. Oh, and he made it so clear that that promise of the Holy Ghost, oh, would be available to those that would seek it, oh, that would desire it, that would want it. Oh, yes, sometimes we make it too hard. Oh, yes, sometimes we think it's too impossible, that you have to maybe climb a great mountain in order to receive it. But it's by faith. It's accepting the promise. Oh, yes, that which, oh, he has promise that will he do? Oh, yes. For my promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. That means you and I. That means, oh, yes, that wonderful light that he puts within our being to make us a witness in this world is available, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so that we can be that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Praise the Lord, those signs and wonders following us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are his witnesses. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Pray, oh Lord, that you'd use us, God. Oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to have that boldness, Lord, that you'd help us to reach out, receive that gift, oh, Lord, that you promised. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, even tonight, oh, Lord, oh, God, that there would be those that receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, God, that there would be that reaching out to receive this promise, Lord. Oh, God, that gift which you've given us, oh, Lord, oh, that gift that you've given to your children, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be a witness in this world and go forth and do your work. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us faith, Lord, give us desire. Oh, God, give us that expectancy, Lord, to receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost to be a witness in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's for all of us. Oh, yes. That wonderful gift of God that he's given away. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we can go forth and we can tell the world something very important. And that is that Jesus saves. So we're going to turn now to number 198 in the hymnal and sing Jesus Saves, number 198. Sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves, onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, dealt the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, by his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sing it softly through the gloom.
when the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.